Psalm 23 is such a marvelous passage of Scripture. Amen. Yields itself to much study and much teaching. I have preached through Psalm 23 numerous times, taught through it numerous times, and every time, I don't just get up here and redo what I've done. Every time I'm studying for another lesson,
sure,
I learn something.
Absolutely.
Something that I'd overlooked before, something that someone else had gleaned from it that I'm able to glean from them. And I appreciate the book being that way, don't you?
Yes, sir.
I'm grateful to God that this Bible is a living book.
Absolutely.
100% alive. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope you never get over reading that and seeing what's there. The Lord is. You don't have to worry about whether or not He's on board. The Lord is. My shepherd, I shall not want. I said to you that we live in a no-want zone. Remember that?
Yeah.
As believers in Christ, we live in a no-want zone. This first verse has basically two words in it, in the original. It is Jehovah Rara and Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord is my provider.
Yes.
If the Lord is my shepherd, there's no reason for me to want.
No.
If Christ is your Lord, then you have no reason to want. You have no reason to doubt. You have no reason to pout. There's no reason to blame anyone for anything. Why? Because the Lord is my shepherd. If the Lord is my shepherd, and I say that for the argument's sake, not for any other reason, the word if. If the Lord is my shepherd, then my pathway is being lighted, let's use that word, that I might see the way to go. He is leading me every step of the way, and where I go, He has been before me.
Uh-huh.
To clear the way,
sure,
so I can make it through without the dangers that would normally be there. Now, what a lesson that is.
Yes, sir.
What a lesson. And let me say this to you. I have learned that practically, not just theoretically, but I've learned that practically. And God help us to learn that in a practical sense. I hope you don't have to learn it the way I did, but I do pray that all of us can learn the truth of this outside the theory of it. You see, any religious goon can say the Lord is my shepherd. But it takes a saint of God that's been through the valley to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
Yes.
So thank God for the valleys. We'll talk about that later. But thank God for the valleys, because the valleys are extremely important for our nurture,
yes,
our growth, our dependence upon the Lord. Faith could never be a reality if you had no valleys. It would only be a theory. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now, when we left here on last week, we were talking about this thing of the provider. He provides. Jehovah Jireh. He provides companionship, we said. I shall not want for companionship. The little sheep followed the shepherd. He knew where the shepherd was, and the shepherd was with him all the way. So the sheep doesn't need for companionship, doesn't want for companionship. Neither does he want for compassion. We've talked about those. Let's move to another tonight. I shall not want for control. I think this is one of the most important things you'll learn from this psalm. So listen to me for a few moments. Control is not an outward thing. In the New Testament economy, control is from the inside, not the outside. In the Old Testament economy, the saints were controlled outwardly. Out of fear, they obeyed the law. Out of love, we obey His commands. What a difference. Wouldn't you much rather the prime mover be love than fear?
Yes.
In every case.
Yes.
Every case. I really can't think of a case. Even in war, it'd be good that the prime mover be love rather than fear. And I can honestly say that for the soldier, surely, the prime mover is love. I love my family. I love my country. I love my freedoms.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
If that's so, and surely it is, then there's something more than fear that drives us.
Yes.
So I shall not want for control. The control of my life, when we think of it in the sheep's circumstance, and let's do that for a moment. That sheep is responsible for being a sheep. I think I've said this before. I'm going to say it again several times in this study. That sheep is responsible for being a sheep.
Yes.
What did the book of Isaiah say about sheep? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to our own way. But I like the next statement. The Lord has laid upon Him, our shepherd, the iniquity of us all. Now let me say this again. The sheep is responsible for being a sheep. The shepherd is responsible for being a shepherd. Let's jump ahead just a little bit. Let's read this next verse. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Now I want you to pick up this next phrase. Little prepositional phrase. What does it say?
For His name's sake.
Now if you learn what I'm going to tell you about this, you'll shout for the rest of your life on credit. Because it is not my responsibility to get me to heaven.
True.
I'm going there for His name's sake. Did you get a hold of that? If I go to the airport, buy a ticket to go to some city, and I get on board, take my seat, buckle in, whose responsibility is it to get me where I'm going? Do you mean I'm not supposed to go to the cockpit and fly the airplane to where we're going?
No.
Absolutely not. It is not my responsibility to get me there. Now, Baptists have forgotten this long ingrained truth in our heritage. It is not our responsibility to get us to heaven. It is not our responsibility. It is the responsibility of the shepherd. For it is His name that's at stake. Not my name. His name's sake. Are you catching hold of this? Some of you are looking bad. You're looking pale. Need aspirin. I want you to catch a hold of this truth. You don't need to miss this. It is not our responsibility. Wherein could it ever be our responsibility? If it were my responsibility, like Brother Gary said the other day to this gentleman, we couldn't make it to Johnson City, let alone heaven. So it's not my responsibility. It's the Lord's responsibility to get me there. It is His name that's at stake. Did I see a hand somewhere? Yeah, go ahead. Were you just shouting it out? Praise God. We all need to do that. This thought, when it finally gets into our mind and we get a hold of it, it'll help you in every circumstance of your life. When hell jumps on your shoulders and tells you how sorry you are, what difference does it make? You are sorry.
Sure.
The best thing for you to do is just agree with Him. Sure I am. I know that, but it's not my responsibility to get me there. My shepherd's on the throne. My shepherd's in charge. My shepherd's flying this airplane. My shepherd's piloting this boat. My shepherd knows where I'm going. And my shepherd is going to get me there. Not Larry, not Gary, or Gary, but the shepherd. His name is at stake. We often worry muchly about our standing. We need to get by that. And let me tell you something. I took a hard blow for God to get me by that. And I hope I'm by it. I don't want to have to repeat the course. I hope I'm by it. I don't want to be important. It's not necessary that I be important. I ought to be important to one person, and that's the shepherd. And who cares about anybody else thinking you're important when we know we're important enough to the shepherd for him to care for us, to get us to the fold. And along the way, he's going to take me to the pasture. He's going to take me by the still waters. Along the way, he's going to give me some time to rest. Along the way, the correction is going to come. He is in control. My life is under his control. Now, I'm not saying that we can't kick out the traces, but I'm telling you, kick all you want to. Sooner or later, the shepherd's going to correct the kicking. Why? Because it's his responsibility. He's the shepherd. What are you going to act like? You're going to act like a sheep. You're going to kick and you're going to run aside and you're going to do whatever you can to get out of the way from time to time. But the shepherd is going to do what he can do to keep you in the way.
Yes, sir.
And whether you know this thing or not, I read the last line. I know where this thing's going to wind up. And I know that heaven's canines are there to nip at my heels and make sure that I stay in line. Goodness and mercy are heaven's canines. That's the shepherd dogs, the sheep dogs, along the way. So we don't want for control. Now let me move on to this thought. We don't want for correction. The saint who says he's a saint and is not corrected is not a saint at all. If there is no correction in your life, if you look back through your life and you can't see where God took you to the woodshed a few times, then you have a problem that you need to get to the cross and settle before you wind up in hell. If we are without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Now, I'd be foolish to tell you that I haven't preached to many a church house bastard. Hello, don't look down. Keep your head up. I'm talking English. Many along the way. But at the same time, I sure preach to a lot of sheep. And when you can look out there and see one little old sheep blading and reaching for the blades of grass and getting a drink of that still water from time to time, brother, it makes it worth it. Work every struggle, every mile of the way, because God is doing something for the sheep. What a blessing. You shan't want for correction. He is our corrector. The rod and the staff, the sheep says, comfort me. We'll talk about that in a moment. But this thing of comfort doesn't mean that we're in our lazy boy all kicked back on a Sunday afternoon taking our Sunday afternoon siesta. That's not what it means. It means that we have finally learned to be comfortable where he wants us. By the way, you are going to wind up where he wants you. Don't ever think that God wants something that's not going to happen. I hear preachers preach all the time and say, oh, God wants you to do this. Well, if God wants you to do that, you're going to do it.
Yes,
hello?
Yes.
You're going to do it.
Yeah.
I grew up with a dad. Gary and I grew up with a dad that was a great disciplinarian. Now, he'd take the belt to us and beat the devil out of us, sure. But at the same time, he loved us into doing what He wanted us to do.
Yes.
And I learned early on that I'd rather see my father smile than I would his frown. And that was the guide, that was the control, that was the correction oftentimes in my life. Now, not to say that I didn't step outside the bounds from time to time. I'm a sheep. But the correction for the saint of God. You know what I take correction as being? The proof that I'm His child.
Yes, sir.
That says to me, you're mine. When the correcting arm of God moves in my direction, it just assures me entirely that I belong to Him. And listen to me. If you get angry with God, then it's not going to do you any good. No. You may as well go out there and cuss the river for flowing downhill, because it's going to do about as much good. You're not going to change the circumstances God has planned. And if you don't like the circumstances, then you need to talk to God about it.
Amen.
And ask God to take you out of that circumstances, and we'll bury you next week. Don't think that don't happen. Oh, yeah. Look at me. Listen carefully. God's correction goes to the point of the graveyard. So don't you think it won't happen. The God of glory corrects His youngins. That's all there is to it. Let me ask you this. How many of us have been in circumstances? Now, I've been there thousands of times. And some of you may not have been there as many, but you've been there. You've been in a circumstance where you look at some varmint little youngin that is just raising Cain, and mama's saying, now, honey, you ought not do that. And what you think that mama need to do is just beat the devil out of you. Say, you can't do it. You can do it. You can. You're the parent. You can correct your child. Hello? The reason people don't do it is because they're afraid that the law says they can't. The law does not say that. By the way, you can correct a child in school. The teacher has the right to correct the child in school and to use corporal punishment if necessary. When we were educators, we had them sign a note saying, these people have the right to correct my children and use corporal punishment when necessary, at their discretion. And if they wouldn't sign that note, they took little Johnny and went somewhere else. That's just the way it was. And when they needed it, we spanked them. Your child wouldn't be in the shape he's in if you were doing what you need to be doing. You need the spanking. I said, well, I wouldn't talk to nobody like that. I know you wouldn't. That's why God put me in the situation today. When I came back from Vietnam, I never met a man that could make me take a baby aspirin. Now, I said that to say this. God's little children need to be disciplined. And you're never going to be able to point a finger at God and say, you need to beat the devil out of that varmint. Oh, no. You can't blame God. And let me go a step further and say this. These pretenders, these church house bastards. Now, my wife's going to talk to me about this phrase because she never has liked it. When you look at these people and you never see correction for their waywardness, you know what they are. And you can't change it. Do you know what Baptists have done? They've gone into legalism to try to change that. They've gone into legalism to try to make goats act like sheep. It will never happen. Sign everything they can. Make every pledge they will, and they'll never change until God Almighty changes their heart. And when God changes their heart, then He's in charge of the correction.
Amen. Amen.
And making sure they turn at the right time and go in the proper direction.
Yes, sir.
And wind up in the right place when it's all over. A lot of folks have got, especially preachers, young men God calls to preach, they get ahead of God. When you get ahead of God, He has to call you back. Back here. Come on back. Back here is where you belong.
Amen.
Absolutely. So we learn the comfort zone and we live in that comfort zone. If not, then we're going to be corrected for doing so. Then we shall not want for a camp. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I don't want to steal the thunder from when we get there, but I'm going to tell you something. You're going somewhere. That is somewhere. And when you get somewhere, are you listening? When you get somewhere, you will stay at that somewhere. How long?
Forever.
Well, hallelujah. And whose responsibility is that? The shepherd's responsibility to get me there. Now let's read another phrase, if we may. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This is Jehovah Shalom. The word shalom is the word peace. The Lord grants me peace. There are two kinds of peace for the believer. We have peace with God, and we have the peace of God. Paul speaks frequently of the peace from God, which is the peace of God. So there's not a third one. It is the peace of God and peace with God. Jesus talked about leaving us peace. Did he not? Peace I leave with you. So then we have the peace of God as a gift from God. And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now, look at these two places for just a moment. If I have the peace of God in my heart, that means I've made peace with God. Or literally, God has made peace with me because He is the progenitor of this thing. He has brought us to peace. The Holy Ghost, look at this. Paul said we were enemies, right? Enemies. Now, enemies, in order to come together, need a mediator. And that mediator, Paul said, is Jesus Christ. Christ then mediates between God and man. And because He became man, He can be the mediator. And because He is God, He can be the mediator toward God. Isn't that amazing? So then our mediator is both God and man. And that being so, He made peace. Paul said He made peace by His cross. So now there's peace with God because of the death of Jesus Christ. And there is the peace of God in my heart because the Holy Ghost has moved inside. You should be at peace in your heart no matter what's going on around you, no matter what the conflict. Now we all kind of, for an instant, something will hit us and we're not thinking, we're just responding. But the instant we think, all that goes away and there's peace. Peace is something you cannot buy. It is something that all of us must have, or we're going to go as crazy as a dingbat. Peace settles us in all the circumstances of our life and mellows us to accept the plan of God for our life in this circumstance. Now, I haven't always understood the plan of God for my life. When things weren't exactly the way I thought they ought to be, I didn't understand that. It took me some time to develop the mind by the grace of God to understand, well, this is the will of God. If it weren't, then He's not being the shepherd. So this is the will of God for my life. Now, what am I going to do? I'm going to make the best out of the circumstance that I can, because here is where God has me for this particular time in my life. There is nothing more important in your life than having the peace of God that passes understanding. You can't understand it. I can't understand it. How can you understand when everything in the world is popping about you and everybody else is just going stark raving mad and you're just kind of sitting around waiting on the next thing and how God's going to finish this thing out? I don't know about you, but it's a great joy. I feel like a little sheep. When there's peace and everything else is going on around you and everyone else is popping in every direction, you're at peace in your heart and the shepherd is in control and you're well aware. And by the way, let me hit this little note if I may. If there's not peace in your heart, then you're having doubts about the shepherd. Oh my. That's where the problem really is. We're doubting the shepherd's capacity to handle the circumstances that I'm in at this particular moment. Now, let me wake you up. If your shepherd didn't know yesterday that you were going to be where you are today, then he's not the shepherd you need. My shepherd knows the path that I take. My shepherd knows the circumstances that surround me. And my shepherd knew yesterday and made the preparation to make sure that I got through that because I'm his sheep.
Sure.
For no other reason in the world than because I am his sheep.
Yes.
I belong to him. He belongs to me. We settled that, did we not, in the first phrase of this psalm.
Yes.
The shepherd, in his responsibility, will see to it that you make it through the valley. He'll find you when you get lost and lose your way. He'll be there in time when the bear is near and the lion and the serpents and the thieves. He'll be there. He may not show up the way you think he ought to, but our shepherd will be there. You'll never have to wonder. I will never leave thee nor forsake you. You've never been alone since God saved you. You've never been without a shepherd since God saved you. You'll never want. Never know. No, never want. And the peace that passes understanding is as much a part of your day as breathing. We don't understand. That's what the text is saying. It's not that somebody else doesn't understand it. Not that my wife doesn't understand it. Not that your husband doesn't understand it. You don't understand it. But I reiterate this truth one more time. You don't have to understand it to enjoy it. You're enjoying the lights in this building tonight, the heat and so on. You know what produces that? Electricity. Do you understand electricity? I taught electricity. I know the basis of electricity. I know how electricity is created. I know how you take the magnet and move it through the lines of flux and produce a current through the thing. And the current flow is what causes the lights to burn and so on. That's what a generator is doing. But though I can understand and teach the theory, I don't understand how all this actually comes to pass. You have magnetic lines of flux everywhere. They're everywhere. That's why a compass works, by the way. All of those things are there. We don't understand it. But God put them there when He created this earth. And we've learned to harness them then. How about that?
Yes, sir.
Well, glory. Static electricity is one of the strangest things you'll ever come up against. You'll never understand it. Never understand. You slide across the seat in your car and touch the handle and zap! What was that static electricity? Huh? You ladies slide across the car and your hair stands straight up.
Yep.
walk across the carpet, reach and touch the door, zap again. Sometimes it's a blue streak. You ever? I mean, it is a blue streak. Huh? The sheep lay down in green pastures. I want you to take this home with you. A sheep will not lay down if anything annoys him. He'll stand and walk around nervously if anything annoys him. But the thing that puts the peace in the little sheep's heart is the voice of the shepherd. When he hears the voice of the shepherd, he settles down and lays down in the green pastures. I'll give you some things next week that deal with that very thought as to why he has to have peace before he can lay down. And you're going to find that it's exactly what God does for us so we can lay down. My wife and folks who know me well have often wondered how I can lay down and rest when trouble's popping. And I can. Ask her. Put my head on the pillow. I don't even have time to say goodnight. Most of the time, I'm out of here. Sleep good, sleep well. You know why? I've learned who my shepherd is. And I've learned that my shepherd is my shepherd. He knows my circumstances. And he's there to guard me at my weakest moment. He's there to guard me at my strongest moment. He's there to protect me because his name is at stake. I want you to do this for me because I'll probably forget it.